Alrighty, everybody, welcome back to the first 2024 edition of the KSL.com Game Center podcast. I am joined today by Ryan Miller to talk a little bit of Jazz. It's been a minute since we've talked. For me personally, I think I just wanted to wait to do another episode until the Jazz finally broke the triple double streak, and it happened. Jordan Clarkson got the first Jazz regular season triple double since 2008. On Monday, it was a big deal in what has been an interesting season for the Jazz so far. I'm curious, Ryan, what was it like to just be in the arena for that on Monday?
Like on a, in a season like this one, you almost have to take the joys of it all. And sometimes I think fans and us reporters and everyone around sports kind of forgets that this isn't just like a championship or nothing, some game type stuff. And so Monday was awesome. Like you had people literally standing in anticipation of a rebound in a 35-point game. Like that's fun. You can have fun and do this stuff. Doesn't always have to be a like, oh, are we getting a championship this year? And the Jazz are not. But last night was awesome. It is something that I think a lot of fans will remember. This streak made no sense. It never did. Like, we're talking 16 years without a triple regular season triple double in a league that is full of them every night. Like looking over at Luka during like the Jazz's celebration was hilarious. He was like, "What is going on? Like I do this literally every night. This isn't a big deal. Like, and it's not anywhere else in the league. Like every other franchise since that Carlos Boozer triple double has had 10 or more times of getting one of these. Like it was weird. It made no sense. It never did. Like you can always like look at the like, oh, it's the style of play. There's not a lot of assists by one person. Like throw all that out the window. There's been so many random players that have had this over the last 16 years. It never made sense. It's fun that it ended. I'm a little disappointed, to be honest, because I no longer am tracking, going to be tracking a potential one with 6 minutes into the first quarter because it's been a fun gimmick. Like, honestly, we talk about random players. Jordan Clarkson's one of those random players. I think if you would have asked anyone, it's like, who's going to break this? His name probably would not have come up. But he's the longest tenured Jazz player, though, probably the one person on the team that fully appreciated the randomness of this streak. So, yeah, it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
That's hilarious. And it's funny too, because like it made national news. Like a lot of national NBA people were talking about it, NBA Twitter, of course. And it's been funny to look at like which moments from this season, from the Jazz season, have kind of made national like relevancy. And 2 weeks ago there was this game against the Pistons. So tonight the Jazz are playing the Pistons again, and they played them just 2 weeks ago. And in that game, it was also kind of making national news because the Pistons had lost. I think at that point it was 25 in a row, or 24, and the Jazz weren't doing super well. And so everyone was like, okay, this might be the Pistons' shot, right? And it wasn't. They ended up losing four more games. And the Jazz won that game, and then they won two more in a row, and have since won 5 of 6. So I'm curious, what have these last 2 weeks been like for the Jazz as they've like kind of turned things around a little bit this season?
I think there's a couple things that we can look at. One, the schedule was lighter. He played a team like the Pistons. Now, rightfully so, that one was all setting up for the Detroit to break that streak. Like the Jazz were missing four starters, coming off a back to back. Like everything looked like the Jazz would, and they were had been awful on the road. And yeah, but the Jazz won and kind of it have gone on this little run. They've won 8 of the last 11 if you go all the way back to December 13th. And probably like if they get a win tonight, like that matches or nearly matches Will Hardy's best stretch of play in his first 2 years. And so what's happened? One, opponents, Detroit, Toronto, San Antonio, an injured Miami team, Brooklyn, who has fallen off a cliff, like, and even Dallas on Monday looked absolutely atrocious. Like, I know they had people back, but that was one of the worst played games I've ever seen a team do. But there's also been some, like, you can't just say, oh, it's just the schedule. The Jazz have played a lot better. Their ball movement has been amazing. Like, I think the ability to get guys to buy into any role has been very impressive. And that's probably been the key to this whole thing. Like, if you look at these lineups, they're staggered throughout. Like, honestly, you coming into tonight, like, you assume that they're going to go with the same starting lineup from Monday, but like, that's not a guarantee. Like, Will Hardy has brought people in and out. He has found rotations that have worked. Like, against San Antonio, he played Lauri Markkanen at the five for 18 minutes and worked great against Victor Wembanyama. And so everything's been a little different. They're trying new things, and there's just a good buy-in right now. We will see what happens after this Detroit game. They go to Boston, Philadelphia, and Milwaukee, and then come home to play Denver. That is a pretty brutal four-game stretch, but I think they've played so well over the last 2 weeks that even if they go 1-3 or 0-4, like the sky won't feel like it's falling. It's like, all right, yeah, they aren't a top four team in the league. I think no one was arguing that anyway. So go then obviously the schedule will lighten up after that, and we'll see what we got. But honestly, right now they have moved out of a lottery pick. So yeah, they are no longer a bottom 10 team in the league, everyone. Woo!
Yeah, obviously, yeah, you mentioned the opponents, and I think rightfully so. And like you mentioned, I was looking at the schedule as well, and the upcoming ones are quite a gauntlet. They go on this road trip on the road facing the Celtics, Sixers, and Bucks, three of the best teams in the league, and then come home and you're like, oh, we get a homestand. Ah, starts out with Nikola Jokic, right? So
Brutal. It's
yeah.
but it could be tough.
Kind of brutal there, and but they play six in a row at home. You got the Raptors, Lakers, Pacers, Warriors, and Thunder. Thunder are really good, but a lot of those games, six game homestand, a lot of winnable games there. So kind of an interesting run where the Jazz, this could kind of, I mean, not make or break the season necessarily, because like you mentioned, they're not going to get into a top four seed, but it could keep them, like you mentioned, from being a bottom 10 team, right?
Yeah, and I think that's the goal of this team. Like they want to push that pick this year. Like you look at next year's draft, it's a lot better than this year's draft. So it's like, okay, if they can push that pick to OKC this year, give them the 12th pick, 13th pick, 14th, maybe high or lower. That is what their ultimate goal is. And right now they look like a play-in team. Like even like the, well, yeah, we're talking 3 weeks ago and everyone's like, oh man, are they on along with the like Pistons, Spurs, and Blazers, Wizards run of just like absolute garbage. No, I don't think they are. Like, and they right now are only what I think 2 games out. Yeah, 2 games out of the play-in. And so, like, no, this is probably a team that will fight for a play-in spot. We'll see what happens at the trade deadline, but that is, I think, the actual goal of this squad. Like, they're not winning a title this year. They're probably not going to be in a position to contend next year. But I think having all your picks next year sets you up at a better spot than using your pick this year. And so that I think is the goal they're going to kind of push to not have a top 10 pick, and then, have all their assets secured for the future seasons. It's a kind of a weird limbo spot they're in right now, but that from talking to the people in the organization is the ultimate goal of this team, is to not be a bottom 10 squad. And if you're not going to be that, you might as well go try to get them in the playoffs.
Yeah, and it kind of seems like the league has created so many of these mechanisms to incentivize teams to kind of, if you're in that middle ground, go for a play-in game, right? They had that in-season tournament, which the Jazz were taking seriously, right? And then hopefully, they've got this play-in that a lot of teams also take seriously, because if you're right there on the edge, well, you might give a chance. The Jazz almost did it last year.
And like really it, then that's like we go back to last year. This team is starting to remind me of that same kind of bunch of players that shouldn't be that good together are now suddenly that are playing at a higher level. Now I think there are most nights the Jazz go into games with a talent disadvantage, and that's when the trade deadline comes into play, because like you look at their starting lineup and how many of those guys are really starting on a playoff team. I Lauri Markkanen, and then you start to question anybody
Yeah,
else. Like
yeah.
I actually thought it was very interesting. Will Hardy actually said this before Monday's game, where he's like, if I asked everybody in this room and even in our coaching staff to rank our players 1 through 15, everybody would have Lauri Markkanen number one. And then it's going to change no matter, like, from person to person. And it
Yeah.
was like, it really was. It was like, yeah, who's number two? Like, before Monday's game, I would have probably said Colin Sexton. After, it would have been like, probably Jordan Clarkson.
Yeah.
Like, and that's the nature of the Jazz is if they continue to get these random big games from guys like Colin Sexton, Jordan Clarkson, random John Collins one, Walker Kessler, like, that, yeah, they'll continue to be good, but. Yeah, it's the talent disadvantage, I think, will be there most nights, even against even against the Pistons. You look at the Pistons, you're like, yeah, they probably like man to man have more talent. But the Jazz are also playing really, really well. And so that like it is one of those things that basketball is a team game, and Will Hardy has proven again, like he did last season, that he could get a team to really play as a team and find a style of play that really benefits those players and make them honestly look better than they probably are.
Yeah, you know, the one name that you didn't mention there, I think was Kelly Olynyk, and he's had an interesting season as well. He's had a couple of those games where you're like, whoa, is he the best player on this team?
Exactly. Kelly, like Simone Fontecchio had 24
Yeah.
points. Like, and it's like, there's a lot of guys that are capable of having those kind of nights. And right now they're almost, that's what's working, is they're having those kind of nights and they're like, just kind of like trading off. And then Lauri Markkanen putting up his 25 to 30 points a night also helps. Cause again, he's your number one guy. But like, essentially, if you look at like championship building, like Lauri probably is a number two on a championship caliber team. How the Jazz get that number one guy is the question I think everybody in the fan base has. That's why like people are like, oh yeah, we need the draft, the draft, the draft. It's because those guys, the top five, top 10 guys that you really need to win a title pro don't come open in trades a lot. And so we'll see. Like honestly, the Jazz have made it very clear they're going to be in any discussion when it comes to pretty much any trade. Because and so we'll see. I think that's all they're doing right now is we'll see what's available. But right now it's like enjoy this plunky little underdog team that probably shouldn't be this good, but is playing at a pretty high level. Because yeah, I don't know if it'll last for the next 3 months, but I think there are sustainable things. It's not like they're shooting the ball really, really well. Like over the last 10 games, they're not shooting it very well at all. Like that's probably been my most like the thing I've been most impressed with over this run is they have figured out a way to win games when they're shooting 30 or sub 30% from 3-point range. Their defense has been really, really good at times. And that's something that was just awful over the first month of the season. And so like things have turned around and we'll see if it continues if the but like you kind of look over the last 3 weeks, it does seem like a steady incline of like, oh, things are just improving. That's more than just the schedule. So we'll see. I think eventually talent advantages will win out, but and the box and one zone that they've been throwing out against some of these top teams will probably be figured out by, players like LeBron James and whatnot. But for now, enjoy the run. Because again, just like Monday's triple double watch celebration, like there'll be moments of joy throughout a year, even if your team isn't competing for a title. So strap in, enjoy the ride, have fun with it.
Yes, indeed. Joy in the journey. We may have to have you on in about a month or so when that trade deadline hits, depending on how involved the Jazz are, obviously, in these discussions. But in the meantime, as you said, enjoy the ride. Enjoy these games. We've got a bunch of games coming up for Jazz fans to go at home, go to the Delta Center, check things out, and see, which of these 10 guys is going to have their night for the game you go to.
Exactly. It's all a mystery until you get there.
All right, appreciate you coming on, man.
All right, thanks, buddy. We'll see you.
See you.